Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a good show for y'all tonight. Was off the last 2 weeks. But that's okay. We're here tonight. And, man, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Islam and Volkanovski. I don't know whether or not we talked about that on the last show. We're going to talk about that again. We're going to talk about Bare Knuckles. Bare Knuckles is making, they're making some noise with what they just announced about their two upcoming fights. So we're going to talk about that. Hopefully we'll talk about a little bit of Jake Paul and Tommy Fury also. That was big news that happened this weekend. And then we're going to jump into UFC 285, man. We're going to have some fight breakdowns. We're going to talk about which fight we're going to have our eyes on. We're just going to have a lot to talk about. About to jump my co-host in right now. For some strange reason, it's not showing on my laptop. It's probably showing on my computer, on my telephone, which is kind of weird. But, hey, that's okay. We're going to make this happen. There we go right there. What it do, Keys? How you doing tonight, bro?
I was just trying to. Yeah, so I was in the call. Yeah, I was in the queue. I was listening. And I'm glad you pointed that out about the Paul Fury fight, Jake Paul, Tommy Fury fight. You know, I just wanted to get that out there. I just put that tweet out there just to let the people know that we will be running through that as well. That kind of slipped my mind. And I actually ordered that fight. I went because me and my brother were watching a battle rap event. Speaking of which, shout out to King of the Dot. Stay Forever was an incredible event. In honor and memory of a battle rapper a legendary battle rapper that I really look up to. His name is Pat Stay. You know, rest in peace. They were able to raise over $150,000 over the 2-day event for his family. So that's pretty amazing stuff right there. The event was incredible. So shout out to King of the Dot and everybody involved with that. I was watching the King of the Dot Stay Forever event with my brother, and I was on the way to his house, and we had talked about it, you know, days prior, and I was like, I'm pretty sure the Jake Paul Tommy Fury fight is, because day two of the event was on Sunday, and I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure the fight is on Sunday as well, and then the timing kind of lined up, like we were able to pretty much watch the whole fight, see the decision, and then the battle card was the event was pretty much. Two of the event was pretty much starting like right after the fight, you know, which I don't know, maybe they knew that or what, but it just kind of worked out that way. And so I'm glad that, you know, yeah, he ordered it when I was on the way up there, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because I paid money and watched the fight, and there it was slipping my mind. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, man. You know, let's just go ahead and start there, man. Over the weekend, Jake Paul fought Tommy Fury. Quote unquote, his fight against a real boxer. I think the last time we talked, I saw Tommy Fury fights on YouTube, and I seen him fight Jake Paul, and you could tell he had a little bit more skill than Jake Paul. But outside of that, Tommy Fury still doesn't look like, he still looks like a novice to me. But, hey, man, Jake Paul showed me some things, man. He got a lot of heart. Like I said the last time we talked, the guy has gotten better with every fight. But you just could tell in this fight that he was a little bit outmatched as far as the boxing-wise. But as far as heart, hey, man, you can never question that man's heart. A lot of people was mad about the decision because he had a knockdown or whatever. But it was one thing about that fight that I hated. And I was we was in a little group chat. The referee was doing way too much, man. The referee was in the way, man. you know, he probably didn't understand the magnitude of the event and where the event was being held at in front of that crowd. The ref, your job basically is to break up, talk to the fighters, not be part of the fight. And I thought he was part of the fight way too much. But what were your thoughts on the fight, Keys? Did you think Jake won, number one? And then what was your overall thoughts on the fight?
I would say, wait, what was the first part of your question?
All right, did you think Jake won the fight? And then secondly, what was your overall thoughts on the fight?
No, I don't think Jake won the fight. No, I think he lost that pretty clearly. I was only scoring for like the first three rounds I was scoring it. And then I kind of just started enjoying the fight and I just wasn't scoring. And after the first two rounds, I scored it. I had Tommy Fury in the first round, you know, dominating the first round. Then rounds, I want to say 2 and 3, I gave to Jake Paul. And then I wasn't scoring the rounds after that. But I will say that for thoughts on the fight overall, I feel like Tommy was in control of that fight. You know, I feel like he was pretty much in control of that fight. If you want to look at the clinching that Jake Paul was doing and make the argument that he was in control of the fight because he was kind of, you know, in a way stopping the pace that Tommy was trying to go at and kind of making the fight be his pace with the clinching he was doing, that you could probably say that. But I still think Tommy was in control, you know, almost the entirety of that fight. And, you know, I definitely think the judges made the right call. I think, you know, Jake Paul lost. Tommy Fury probably should have even been unanimous, honestly. I think, you know, I'm a little surprised that was a split decision. But I'm not mad at the decision. I'm just glad that the judges did the right thing, because if it had went to Jake Paul, it would have just been, you know, another blemish on boxing, you know, and on the sport of boxing, and it would have been another blemish on combat sports, period, because and combat sports judging, because we see a lot of suspect judging in the UFC and as well as boxing, and it's just and in big fights too, and in title fights, in fights where it shouldn't happen. So, you know, and it's I'm just glad they made the right call. You know, I think they made the right call, and I'm glad that, you know, that they could bring some integrity back. That's the way that I can tell the judges were watching the fight, because, you know, that's the way it should have been. You know, it probably should have been unanimous, but it is what it is. Really good fight, though. I think really good fight. And I get what you're saying about the ref being involved with it too much. I definitely get that, because he was in the middle of them a lot trying to separate the clinching. But I think that's realistically because Jake Paul was doing all the clinching. I mean, that's, you know, I don't really know how that scored in boxing. I don't know how they look at that. But, I mean, Jake Paul was, It seemed to me that every time Tommy was starting to tee off on Jake a little bit, and it was maybe looking like an overwhelming moment, or maybe Jake was tired that he would clinch, and yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, man, I thought Jake was gassed. I thought he looked tired, like starting in the third round. He just didn't look like his overall self, like he had been looking. And I think that has to do with the level of competition. You know, he upped the ante in this fight. He actually fought a guy that everybody says a boxer. But when I watched him, you know, I just, like I said, I felt he was a novice at best. But, you know, man, Jake got in there. He did his thing. He landed some shots and got a knockdown in the eighth round. But, you know, holding and clinching, that's like part of the sport of boxing. Normally what happens is if a guy gets off on you, you know, you grab him, you make the ref break it up to kind of slow the momentum of the fight down. But the ref went as far as, like, to take points away. It was like, bro, do you not understand the science of boxing and what the sport of boxing? So that was kind of frustrating to watch, man. But, Keys, there was one moment in the fight. I don't know whether or not y'all had the sound up. When they gave Logan Paul the mic, I did not like that at all, man. I didn't like what he said, number one. And I just didn't think that was, like, appropriate to get him a live mic over the PA system of the boxing event. I can see if the interviewer is doing like an interview where only we, the people that's viewing it, can hear the sound. But I just didn't like that, man. That seemed kind of weird and corny to me. What did you think about that?
Who'd they get the mic to?
Logan Paul. When he was like, when he called Tommy Fury a bitch, the whole Fury family bitches, and I'll fight all of y'all or whatever. And I
was
like,
that after the fight?
No, that was between the third and fourth rounds.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't really listening because I was just kind of tuned in. I don't know what I was doing, but I remember, like, overhearing that, but I didn't really – wasn't really paying attention to it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, my answer is I'm not surprised they did that. You know what I mean? I'm not surprised. It's just – I don't really it doesn't really matter to me much because it's just – that's just – you know, this is finally a time where I get why they did it. Because this is finally a time where there's some kind of excitement in boxing, I would say. And I saw what you replied to somebody the other day, somebody that was saying that Jake Paul, that boxing needed Jake Paul, and you said that they didn't. I think that I would say that boxing did need Jake Paul, and the reason is because none of these guys are interesting, and they all dodge each other, so it's even less interesting. They all make excuses. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that Tank and what's-his-name fight gets canceled in a month or so. Wouldn't be surprised if they don't make it to the ring. That's just the way boxing is, and these guys are not interesting. You know what I mean? There's no excitement between the rivalries. There's just nothing. You know what I mean? We're lucky to get a couple tweets from these guys, and even then it's kind of corny, so... You know, and you don't really get, like, I feel like you don't even get interest in press conferences. Like, these guys do press conferences, like, by themselves with their team. Like, the only thing that I saw that was you know, the only boxing press conference I've seen that was interesting myself personally was the, who was it? Was Gervonta Davis and Rolly Romero. When they had that press conference, it was just the two of them there and their managers or whoever. That was a pretty interesting press conference, and that feud overall, I was invested in that. They sold that fight, you know what I mean? But that's the only time I've seen that done. I feel like most of these guys, I mean, maybe I'm just not tapped into where I am aware of what's going on, but I just don't really see, you know, I don't really see excitement in the sport of boxing. There's really nothing to make you want to watch a fight, and I think that's the reason why. You know, the pay-per-view numbers show that. You know, the biggest fights in boxing, you know, so they claim, don't even do big numbers. Like, these guys don't even – what the last Fury and Wilder fight do for pay-per-view? It's like, those guys aren't even doing that big in numbers. It's like, you know, some of the – like, I feel like the last – and Charles Oliveira sells, you know, pretty decently, but the Charles Oliveira – you know, fight last one was probably did more than Fury's last fight. You know what I mean? It's like these guys don't even really do numbers because it's not interesting. You know what I mean? There's really nothing. There's nothing there. So to that, I say, I think boxing does need Jake Paul because if it wasn't for him and Tommy Fury was fighting, you know, one of these, you know, guys with a 2-98 record, like the guys that he's fought, you know, prior to this, which is absolutely pathetic, by the way. You know, if he was fighting one of those guys, it would have been an absolute snooze fest, and no one would have cared. You know what I mean? That pay-per-view probably would have tanked. You would have had nobody watching that fight because no one cares. There's no excitement in the sport of boxing. Look at the UFC. Look at how much promotion they do for all these fights. Look at the press conferences. They're even starting to bring more fighters back. You know, we used to have – it's starting to give vibes of those old-school press conferences where you had, like, two whole weight divisions. You know, you had, like, two top – of the weight divisions next to each other all on the stage. Like, they're starting to, you know, bring more fighters to the press conference. Starting to see, like, 5-6 people at the press conference, not doing, like, two person like they were doing when it was, you know, closer to COVID and what have you. So, you know, but the UFC does everything to make these fights big, you know what I'm saying? And that's why you get that. And it's interesting. And the guys, you know, they feel like they're the best. These guys here, they don't do anything. So, yeah. you know, him, Logan Paul yelling on the mic, I mean, I'm not surprised, but, and yeah, being in the arena, I mean, it's a little bit, it seems like a little bit much to be, you know, talking that kind of talk over the whole thing at the arena, but, I mean, I'm not surprised they did it.
I am. And you know what? You know what, Keys? You know what? I take that back. I'm not. Because I think that's one of the things that draw people to those pay-per-views is because you just never know what's going to happen. You know, and remember at first, they was even having people come out doing concerts. It was like, yo, they doing whole concerts doing the fight, man. I was like, yo, this is crazy. But, you know, man, I look at it like this, man. Jake Paul made a lot of money. He made a lot of people a lot of money. Do I see him getting back in the ring? I say yes. I still think the Conor McGregor fight will be a big fight. You know, but that all depends on how Conor does against Chandler. I think him and Nate will still be a big fight. But, you know, man, he signed his contract with PFL. I want to see him inside the octagon, man. Give him 2 years to train. He's still fairly young. Give him 2 years to train, learn the science of MMA. Probably put him in there against, you know, somebody that's going to be their first professional fight. And let's see what happens. But let's jump back, man, to when the last time, man, you talked. We had Islam versus Volkanovski. You know, man, there was a lot of talk about the decision. A lot of people felt that, you know, that the nod could have went to Volkanovski. And I think I even tweeted that. I thought Volkanovski dominated the second half of the fight, especially the fourth and fifth rounds. The third round is probably the swing round for some people. But what did you think about the fight, man? How did you have it scored? Do you think the decision went the right way?
So my thing is I don't have the rounds for you because I need to watch the fight back. Like the first time, the only time when it was live is the only time I've watched it. But and I know some people have posted the fight up. They got like the full fight posted up there. But I've been waiting for it to come on my ESPN Plus. I don't know if they've dropped the event on ESPN Plus yet. If they have, then I'm gonna be going to watch it soon when I have time coming up. I'm gonna rewatch that fight. And so I can really score it and, like, really, like, you know, become, like, a nerd and just, like, sit there. I might have to pull out a notebook. I don't know. But I'm going to really have to sit there and go John Anik on that thing. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to John Anik. Not even John Anik. Shout out to, what's the other one? Dan Hardy, man. Dan Hardy used to – I always reference this when we used to do that show for the pre-fight show and he'd bring up the
– I used to like that show. I used to love that show. The one with him
I forget who he was doing it with. I forget.
Was it Dominic Cruz?
Yeah, it might have been Dominic Cruz, because Dominic Cruz is very analytical like that, too, and he could show you, like, every, you know, specific detail in a fight, too. I actually watched, speaking of which, what gave me more perspective was Henry Cejudo's video. So technically I watched Henry Cejudo's analysis. He did a similar thing, actually. He did pretty much a very similar thing to what Dan Hardy was doing on that show when he would kind of draw on the screen. Henry Cejudo has a video on YouTube right now, which you should go check out. And he broke the fight down and he would go through different moments of the fight, but you pretty much watched most of the fight because it was like over a 20-minute video. And, you know, he would stop and say, you see this right here, you see this, you know, Islam going for, you know, a single leg right here, or he's trying to, you know, kind of trip Volkanovski right here, and it didn't work, but Volkanovski gets back to his feet. He was going to every detail, and what I really realized watching that video was that Volkanovski really stalemated the Dagestani wrestling. He really did.
Yeah.
Volkanovski really stalemated that, man. And I'm gonna say that some sort of an apology to our boy Evan, because a couple months before the fight, this was probably like back October, November, me and Evan were going back and forth on Twitter, and he was saying, like, Volkanovski's game, you know, I was saying, like, Volkanovski, we've never seen it, so how do we know he can deal with the wrestling, with the sambo? You know, it's going to be too much. And then Evan was saying, but he can, and I'm like, how? And Evan was saying that, you know, you don't, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean he doesn't have the skills and he hasn't been training it behind the scenes. And I'm like, all right, well, that's not fair to say because you haven't seen it, so that you just, that's speculation, thinking that he has and you don't know. So I still feel that way. I still mostly feel like if we haven't seen it in the cage, how can we, like, be confident in saying that he has it? But he did. He clearly did because he clearly was doing something. Stalemated the Dagestani style. And he made Islam look kind of crazy in there. I know there's a lot of people on Twitter right now lately, and people are still debating that fight. It's probably going to be debated for a while. But there's a lot of big Islam fans, and I'm an Islam fan, but not to the degree that these guys are, that are saying that, you know, Islam's out there saying he won 24 out of 25 minutes of the fight, which I completely disagree with. There is no way. You know, for him to think that is just, that might be the highest level of arrogance. You know what I mean? To say that you won 24 out of 25 minutes in that specific fight, probably one of the most competitive fights we've ever seen, you know, in a fight where you didn't even look like you. You know what I mean? You didn't even look like you were a dominant wrestler in that fight to me. You know, where? You know what I'm saying? Where did he look dominant in that fight? You know what I mean? At anything. I don't think there was any dominance in that fight. I mean, I think that fight, there was a lot of back and forth in different styles, but I don't think either guy looked dominant in that fight. And I think, do I think the right decision? Like I said, I'm going to go back on the rewatch and score the rounds, but I will say this. I'm not confident in saying that Volkanovski won. I'm going to say that right now, I either think that Islam won in a close fight, or, and this is the other possibility, and I'm really serious about this, that either Islam won or that was a draw. And I'm going to tell you why that I think that might have been a draw is because, and if called it a draw, like, maybe at the time I would have said, like, damn, they called it a draw. But then after watching Henry Cejudo's video, I think that might have been a draw. And the reason why is because if you're basing the fight on, and I've heard this a lot, if you're basing the fight on, I want to say it was that third round where Islam had like 3 or 4 minutes of control time. He was pretty much like he got Volkanovski down early in that round because I want to say Volkanovski looked really good in round two. So I think he came out in round three and was like, I need to just dominate this round. I can't let him do anything. I can't even let him land, you know. So I think Islam came out heavy, took him down. And that was the round where he just kind of held Volkanovski. He wasn't doing anything. Islam did nothing with that position. He did nothing. There wasn't really any transitioning. There was no strike landed on the ground. You know, there was nothing. Like, I don't even know if he had any submission attempts. I don't think he did anything. He just held him there. And so if you're someone that is saying, like, okay, you know, this guy got rounds 1 and 4, this guy got 2 and 5, or this guy got 1 and 2, this guy got 4 and 5, and if your scorecard comes down to round 3, which I have seen a few times, I want to say a few scorecards just came down to that round 3, and you're saying this guy won round 3, I just don't think that's a fair, I don't think that's possible because, you know, they're saying the fight was a 48-47 for Islam, right? I think, you know, that's what the judges had. I think it was a split decision or unanimous, and the ones that had Islam was 48-47. Now, if that round three is a 10-9 for Islam, and if I had to score that round three, I'm going to score that round three a 9-9 because I don't think either guy won that round, and I don't know when we last saw a 9-9 round, but I know it can't happen. We did see it in, I think it was in the first, a Figueiredo and Moreno fight, we saw a 9-9 round because it was a 10-9 for somebody, but then I think Figueiredo, it was 10-9, Figueiredo, and then Figueiredo got a point taken away, so then it became a 9-9 round. So you can have a 9-9 round. And, you know, a lot of people feel like that changed the outcome of that fight. But I think it would have changed this one too. And if you did 48-47 for Islam, you then would have had it 47-47 in a tie. You would have had a split draw, a majority draw, because that round three, how can you say who won that round? Islam, assuming he had one takedown, right? But he did nothing with the takedown. He pretty much had Volkanovski's back, wasn't able to do anything. There was no transition. I don't remember him even landing any strikes, and I don't even remember any submission attempts. Now, meanwhile, Volkanovski was throwing those backwards punches, and he was hitting Islam, but what are those punches really doing? You know what I mean? He's just throwing, like, these backwards punches with, like, half his arm, and salute to him for doing it, because he was doing, you know, all he could do being in that position. But I just don't really think that would win him the round. I don't think either guy did anything that would win them the round in that round. I think both of that was just – it was just a big nothing burger is what it was. That round three was nothing. Like, each guy was trying to do something, and neither thing really did anything. Islam holding you for 4 minutes and doing nothing with the position, you don't get a round, and you barely even get scored. Like, that is nothing to me. Like, you have to do something. You know what I'm saying? You have to put in work while you get that position. You don't just hold somebody. Like, that's not – when people criticize that style and they say that's not fighting, that's the part where I agree with them. That's the part where I'm like, that is not even MMA. I don't know what that is. You're just holding a guy there and not doing anything. Like, what style is that? You're just holding a guy. Like, if you were trying to submit him, okay, you're going to jiu-jitsu. If you were landing strikes, okay, now you're wrestling. If you're grappling with him, you're grappling with him. But there was none of that happening. There was nothing. There was no style. You're just holding him. It's like, I don't agree when they say take a guy down and smashing him is not fighting. That is fighting. You know what I mean? It's just a style that you don't like. But when you're going to go to what Islam was doing in that round, that's when I agree. That is, I don't know what that is. And that's kind of pathetic, actually, because he didn't. I feel like he didn't think there was anything else he could do with Volkanovski, just hold him there, you know. So I think that round was a 9-9. It might have been a draw, bro.
See, I'm counting with you. I was looking at the fight. I had the first two rounds going to Islam. I had 4 and 5 going to Volk. I thought the third round, Islam kind of did his thing in the beginning of the round. But once Volkanovski got to his feet, he kind of dominated the second half of the third round. So, for me personally, man, I hate to say this, man. I really do. I hate draws, but that's one that if they would have called it a draw, I wouldn't have been mad about it. But, man, this is a conspiracy theorist in me right now, and I know they don't even like doing this. But, Keith, let's say if Volkanovski would have won. So he would have been a champ in two divisions. Would he relinquish the belt that he's supposed to fight Yair, or is he going to defend both belts? Now, we already know that this division with Islam in it, this division is rough, bro. We got Oliveira, Islam, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, Chandler, McGregor. We still got some remnants of Tony Ferguson. Badil Dariush. Bro, I just don't see him being able to defend the belt in both weight classes, dog. But Volkanovski surprised me. I didn't think, like you said, I didn't think he would be able to stand up, be able to contend with Islam on the mat. But, hey, man, his scramble game, being able to get back to his feet, and when you looked at their faces after the fight, man, Volkanovski, like, he was ready to take a shower and go to the club. Islam looked like he needed to lay down for a couple of days, put some ice on his face. I'm just saying.
Volkanovski was ready, man.
Hey, Volkanovski, like, hey, take a shower, put on some deodorant, throw on a little suit, and he can hit the club, dog. That's how he looked. He like he wasn't even in a fight. So
yeah, and that,
but
and you know what too? You know what too? That was bald Volkanovski. That's bald Volkanovski, man. That's bald Volkanovski. That's a mythical fighter, bro. If he had grown his hair in, I don't know if he would have had that performance. I think Islam needs to shave his head if he wants to dominate in the rematch, because they're going to rematch. If Islam don't shave his head, it might be over for him. Volkanovski might knock that dude out this next time.
I don't know, Keys. I think they're going to make Volkanovski fight another fight. I think they're going to make him fight another fight at 155.
He's gonna do another fight. I'm not saying that's next, but I'm just saying they will rematch at some stage. I think 100%. That did crazy on pay per view. I'm pretty sure I was reading that they were going crazy, and obviously there's probably people buying that pay per view now. You know what I'm saying? That just want to see it. You know what I mean? That because that fight is so talked about. I'm sure I bet you they're still doing pay per view sales. You know. If they don't have access to it.
I don't think Volkanovski is going to be fighting Islam. I think Charles Oliveira is going to beat Islam in a rematch.
Well,
I think Volkanovski is going to be fighting Charles Oliveira. I really, deep down, think Oliveira still has the skill set to beat Islam. I just think, like you said, Oliveira was putting the cart in front of the horse. In that fight, you can't do that going against a guy that's equally skilled or if not more skilled than you. And he did that and it showed in that fight. But, hey, man, we got to jump
right,
in.
So,
two more.
Hold on. Go ahead. Let me ask you this real quick, though, because this is on the same principle that I always talk about that you're referencing. You're saying the cart before the horse, and Oliveira was looking at a different fight. And he got rolled by a guy that was focused on him. It happens all the time. But right there, now you're focused on a different fight for Oliveira because he's got to fight Benil Dariush. So are you looking past Benil Dariush now?
I think Oliveira will beat Dariush.
He can't look past him, though.
No. I don't think he's going to look past him. I'm just saying that me prognosticating – I see Oliveira beating Dariush, and I see Oliveira beating Islam in a rematch. And I see Oliveira fighting Volkanovski, not Islam rematching Volkanovski. That's all I was saying.
Hey, man. Yo, if it ends up being Oliveira and Volkanovski, guess what, bro? That's another massive fight. So I would be fine to watch that. I don't give a damn if we get the rematch. I mean, we could get it, but if we could get it. Fine, thinking about Oliveira versus Volkanovski, like, gets me excited, man. You just said that, I'm like, I'm about to jump in the air, bro. I'm like, oh my god, that fight would be, imagine that. Oh my god, that would be a fight. That would be crazy.
All right, Keys, let's jump into this real quick, because we got about 30 minutes left in the show. Hey, man, Bare Knuckles, man.
What are we doing?
Bare Knuckles, they announced, you sent me the tweet, they announced two big fights, man. Lou Rockhold.
Not bad, bro. I haven't had dinner yet, man. I'm a little bit off. My blood sugar's low. Man, I'm starving over there, man. I'm forgetting.
So bare knuckles, we got Mike Perry fighting Lou Rockhold, and then Eddie Alvarez fighting Chad Mendez. Geez, I don't know what they doing over there in bare knuckles, man, but they seems to be poaching all the guys that might go back to Bellator or that might go to other MMA organizations. They seem to poach them guys away and have them over there, man. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't really watch the product, but I might have to watch these two fights, man. What you thinking?
Those are two good fights to watch right there, man. I feel like both of those are going to be scraps. You know, those are all four guys that were very fun to watch in the UFC. So That's crazy. They almost seem like they're rematches, but it's crazy that like none of those guys have actually fought, but it kind of seems like it because like a Chad Mendes versus whoever he's fighting, like that kind of seems like, damn, I feel like we almost got that fight at one point, but we never almost got that. But it's just like they were, you know, the two dudes that have been around and that were both like top dudes, you know what I mean, that fought for belts and stuff. So it's just, it almost kind of seems like, oh, damn, we didn't get that. But those are both going to be great fights, though. Yeah, no, maybe. I might have to watch it. I don't know, man. I've never watched a bare-knuckle card, man. Maybe I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll have to see.
I
think they're both cool fights, though. I bet. I think bare-knuckle is trying to make Mike Perry their star, man. I think, you know, that they're really setting him up with these main events, you know, for him to headline their cards. At first, it was Artem Lobov. They were having Artem Lobov as their star. You know, he fought the boxer dude that he beat. And then after that there was now Mike Perry. I think they're trying to make their stars. So shout out to them, man. That's all power to them.
Yeah, man. Hey, like I said, I haven't watched it. I know a lot of them guys. They face be toe up, man. I mean, you know, it's supposed to be us. You know, it's bare knuckle boxing, but it ain't something I would do. But yeah, man. Hey, hats off to bare knuckles, man. I don't know what they're paying them guys, but guys not even thinking about going to Bellator, they're going straight to bare knuckles, dog. So, hey, congratulations, man. But look, man, we got a big card coming up this weekend, man. We got UFC 285 main event. We got John Jones coming in for the heavyweight title against Cyril Gane. 26-1 Jones, 11-1 Gane. We got Valentina Shevchenko going against Alexa Grasso. I really don't like this fight. I feel like the UFC being kind of shady with this fight, but that's okay. We got Jeff Neal fighting. We got your boy Jalen Turner taking on another one of your boys, Gamrot. And then they got Nickel, who's 3-0, going against Pickett. But on the prelims, we got Cody Garbrandt, who I think should be on the prelims. But we got blonde-haired Derek Brunson going against Duplessis on the co-main event of the prelims. When, if I was making the fights, Derek Brunson would be leading off the pay-per-view. But I'm not making the fights. So, Keys, man, you got the car pulled up?
Yeah, I got the car pulled up. Let's go. I'll raffle up all these. I won't even tell you how. I'll just say who, if you want to do it like that. I'll tell you this. First of all, shout out to who is it? Shout out to Ian Gary. He's on the main event of the early prelims versus this guy, Song Keenan. And I wonder if that's Song Yadong's boy, Song Keenan. Or maybe they're from the same gym. I don't know. But yeah, shout out to Ian Gary though. He's on the main event of the early prelims.
Yeah, man.
But yeah,
so
you
want to
start with
Lon
Brunson?
Yeah, we'll do Derek Brunson going against Duplessis, man. I don't even think this is the same Duplessis. I think it is, because so many of these guys got the same last name.
This is Duplessis that just fought Darren Till.
All right, so that is the guy I was thinking about. Okay. Yeah, he beat Brad Tavares, and then he beat Darren Till. Okay, yes, the same guy. Hey, man, so who you got in this fight?
I still don't believe in this Duplessis guy, man. I'm a Duplessis hater, bro. I don't think this guy is good, man. He fought Darren Till, and I told everybody I was with, I was like, this guy's not that good, man. Watch. I was like, I feel like Darren Till, like, is going to expose this dude, because Darren Till's a good striker, and this guy's striking sucks. And, they had me looking crazy when Duplessis rolled Darren Till, but I'm like, bro, I still don't think this guy's any good, man. I think this guy has an awkward striking style when he's just standing in front of you. He throws, like, these long, awkward punches and, like, leaves his chin wide open. I feel like any good striker is going to catch him coming in like that. So that I was not impressed. And I really wasn't even impressed with anything else he did in that fight. He holding Darren Till against the cage and landing shots, pressing him against the cage. I'm like, man, this guy is not – supposedly he has this great grappling. I don't believe in him, man. I think Von Brunson is going to roll this dude, and then we're gonna have that. So Von Brunson at plus 190, I love it. You know I love Von Brunson too, so shout out to him. Derek Brunson by whichever way he wants to win is my prediction.
Yeah, I like Derek Brunson in this fight also. It's just something about Derek Brunson, man, that when the UFC tries to put him in fights like this where they think he's going to lose, he rises to occasion and have a great performance. And I think he's going to have a great performance against Duplessis. I'm going to go Derek Brunson, unanimous decision in this fight. I think he's gonna do some things to confuse the Duplessis. And plus, Brunson, he can wrestle. So it ain't like you just going to take him down and be dominant against him. Derek Brunson's weakness is in the stand-up game. You have to make him fight you, and hopefully you can catch him. And that's how he loses most of his fights, is when he gets caught. So I'm going to take Derek Brunson in this fight. Unanimous decision, man. We ain't going to talk about the Cody fight. We're going to jump straight to the Gamrot-Turner fight, man. Now, on paper, this fight is a banger. These are two guys that, man, they put on good shows. They both put on good shows. Gamrot's coming off a loss against a very game, Benil Dariush, who's one of the best fighters in the game. And then, you know, we got Jalen Turner at 13-5. I want to say he won his last fight. Let me see. Let me make sure. He actually won his last fight against Brad Riddle, a guy that, you know, me and you know, we've been calling for him to fight, Bobby Green. So, all right, man. You got your boy Gamrot going against your other boy, Jalen Turner. Who you got?
I think it's easy to look at what they both recently done and kind of feel a certain way, but I'm going Jalen Turner, though, man. I think Jalen Turner is underrated. Nobody talks about this dude, bro, and he's a beast. Like, this guy, and yeah, we could say, like, he hasn't had, like, I'm pretty sure this is his first top 10 guy, I believe. This is his first fight inside the top 10. Jalen Turner is number 10, so, you know, but it is what it is. This dude is a sleeper, bro. This is a dude that's coming up in the division, and this is also, like, one of those guys. Like I was saying, I've been told y'all about Jamal Hill, man. I've been said it when he did the OSP fight, and he was unranked, and he was a random Joe Schmo from around the corner. I said, Jamal Hill is a beast, and I said it on our show. That was a couple of years ago when he did that, you know, and now he's the world champion. So it is what it is, bro. I'm picking Jalen Turner. This is just the same way that I feel it's like a guy that no one's talking about. No one was talking about Jamal Hill. Even once he started winning fights, nobody was talking about him. Even once he was in title contention, nobody was talking about him. They were talking about Jan Blachowicz was going to fight for the title, and, you know, Glover and Jerry were going to fight, and all these other guys were going to fight. No one was saying Jamal Hill was going to fight or win the title. You know, even when he was right there winning the main event, no one was even – they were still counting him out. So it is what it is, bro. I think Jalen Turner, another thing is I could say Jalen Turner by whichever way he wants, and I am going to say that. Jalen Turner by whichever way he wants to win. You know, Jalen Turner by submission, Jalen Turner by TKO. It is what it is. And I rock with Gamrot. Like you said, these are both my guys. But I just think Jalen Turner's a sleeper, bro. And I think he's going to awaken in this fight, bro.
Man, I'm looking at Jalen Turner. KO. He done had finishes in his last five fights. 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. Like you said, he can get it done any which way. I think I'm going to go against the grain on this one. I don't know why I'm picking Gamrot. I just think it's something that I saw again when he fought on June 25th. that fight against Surikhan, I liked what I saw. I kind of think that he had a tough fight against Dariush, although it was a unanimous decision. He did hang with basically the number one, should be the number one contender in my book. I think when they set him up against Oliveira, which is kind of BS to me, I think he should get a title shot. But I'm going with Gamrot, man. I'm going to say Gamrot slips out of split decision in this fight. I think Jalen Turner, he's going to make Gamrot fight, man. And one thing about this fight, Keith, everybody have to remember, this fight, it's in Las Vegas. Where is it at? It ain't at the Apex, thank God. Whew, I thought it was going to be at the Apex, but thank God it ain't at the Apex because I wouldn't want to see John Jones in a little cage. All right. Yeah, man, I'm going with Gamrot by split decision, man. Next up, we got Jeff Neal versus Rachmaninoff. Rachmaninoff is a favorite at minus 550. Jeff Neal at plus 400. Jeff Neal fights southpaw. Rachmaninoff is orthodox. Look like both of them basically can be wrestlers, you know. But I may have seen Rachmaninoff fight, but I know I've seen Jeff Neal fight. Who you got in this fight, man?
This is a tough one, bro, because I was just saying to my coworker earlier, I was like, yo, I'm done predicting fights, man, because, like, and I told him, I was like, I'm always wrong, but that's not true. I'm not always wrong, but, like, it's just the ones that, like, I have a serious conviction about, like, I end up, those are the ones I end up being way off on, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought Islam was going to roll Volkanovski, and I said second round submission. You know, I predicted that dead on for the Oliveira fight, but I was way off with Volkanovski because they fought, you know, a complete war, and it was like an all-time classic. So, yeah, Jeff Neal and Rachmaninoff, I mean, I've seen plenty of Jeff Neal fighting. I have not seen Rachmaninoff fight, but I understand the type of fighter that he is for the most part. He's similar to a Khamzat, I believe. And honestly, this one, I really don't know. Like, I really can't tell you, like, who is better than who. I don't want to jump out the window and say Rachmaninoff is better than Jeff Neal. I feel like that's a force for me to say when I haven't even seen Rachmaninoff fight. So I'm gonna pick Shavkat to win, just off that mystery factor of me not really knowing. And usually when I'm like, oh, I'm gonna pick him because I know this guy, like, that's not that great either, because, you know, I know what Jeff Neal is like, but I don't know. Shavkat could come out and slam Jeff Neal on his head in the opening exchange, you know what I mean? And I could be way off. So I'm going to go with Rachmaninoff just off the mystery of it. I'm going to go Shavkat with a third round submission. That's what we'll do. It's not the key special. It's a relative of the key special, but that's not the legit one. Don't say it is.
Well, I'm gonna keep it real simple. I'm gonna go with the most consistent fighter, and that's Rachmaninoff. You know, Jeff Neal, he's not one of the most consistent fighters that you see. Sometimes when you see him, he looks really, really good. Then other times you see him, he look really, really bad. Whereas I'm looking at this guy, Rachmaninoff. KO, submission, submission, KO, submission. And he submitted Neil Magny in his last fight. He submitted Cowboy Alex Oliveira. So I'm gonna take the most consistent fighter, and I think that's Rachmaninoff. And I'm going to go with a first-round submission, man. I think he gets it done early. I think he overwhelms Jeff Neal. But if Jeff Neal comes out as the Jeff Neal that I think he can be, he's going to get Rachmaninoff from problems. But I'm going to go with the consistent guy, man. I'm going Rachmaninoff first-round submission, man. When we get to, which I think is going to be a snooze fest, we got Bullet Shevchenko going against Alexa Grasso. -800 going against +550. Valentina coming off a tough fight against Taria Santos. Yeah, against Taria Santos, that she won a split decision. You know, I don't even think Alexa Grasso should be in this fight, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. And then the UFC going to make Taria Santos fight another fight instead of giving her an immediate rematch, and she's been one of the most. She definitely gave Valentina probably her toughest fight since Amanda Nunes. But who you got in this fight, man?
Honestly, man, I'm going to go with Alexa Grasso off the fact that I just want to see Valentina lose. I'm done. You know what I mean? I'm done with this title reign, man. So that's really all I'm based on. I'm not going off any specifics or this one does this. I just want to see Valentina lose. So that's it. Alexa Grasso wins the belt, man, in a complete shocker.
That would be the biggest upset. I think if Taria Santos was fighting Valentina, I would have picked Santos to win this fight. Being that it's another person not named Taria Santos, I just don't see them beating Shevchenko. I think Shevchenko won this fight, third round stoppage. Alexa Grasso comes in with a good. She comes in, makes it a good fight in the first couple rounds. But I think she gets finished in the third round. I'm going to say Valentina third round TKO in this fight. Now we come to the main event. John Jones, first fight at heavyweight, going against Cyril Gane. In this picture, Cyril Gane has the belt on his shoulder. So I guess he's an interim champion or something.
I mean, so, yeah, maybe they're just going with that. Yeah, he was the interim champion, and technically Francis. I mean, I don't know why they chose to do it, but technically Francis unified the belts by defeating Cyril Gane, so
yeah.
Really the interim title would be gone. So I don't really know why they did that, but then again,
yeah,
Francis vacated his title. So, but I also don't think that doesn't make my boy Cyril Gane the interim champion again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know why they have a picture of him with his belt. So, but hey, man, I think I know which way you going. But who you got?
Bro, honestly, I just. I'm gonna get this one out for the people, bro. 2 seconds. I just want to get these tweets off, man. Hit up our Twitter, at Lee and Keys Real Talk, capital RT at the end, at Lee and Keys Real Talk. We got live tweeting of the show just to get the best sound bites if you didn't get to see this, hear the show. Anyways, I'm gonna go with John Jones, man. As long as he doesn't have some injury that I don't know about, which – actually, Chael Sonnen thinks that John Jones is injured. He was talking about how, you know, there's footage of John Jones on these embedded episodes of John Jones is doing, like, workouts in the pool. And I guess Chael Sonnen was saying that, like, pool workouts are really for injuries and things of that nature. So, yeah, Chael Sonnen has a theory that John Jones is injured right now going into the fight, but as long as he's not injured and there's no kind of freak injury or freak situation or pull out from John Jones, I think he'll win the fight. I think he's just one thing I do like is I really, really don't like John Jones, and I'm really not a fan of him because of who he is as a person. That's the part that bothers me. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his arrogance. I don't like his comments that he makes. I don't like his, like, fake religious act that he does after he does a horrible thing or, you know, makes somebody feel like shit. You know, I don't like that. I don't like his personality. He's got, like, a serious bully personality to him. So that's the reason I don't like John Jones. But the competitor John Jones, especially when he's fighting for something, that's the guy that I like. And I will side with him when he's telling Francis, look, you know, the other day he's saying to Francis, like, you made the right move leaving the division before I got here, you know. I'm like, yeah, okay, talk to him. You know what I mean, Jones? Let's go, man. Talk to Francis, bro. It is what it is, man. Talk that talk. You know, that's how you feel. It is day. And John Jones makes a point with that because I think, you know, that would have been a big fight, but Francis might have had a lot of problems beating John Jones. But then at the same time, you see Francis saying, well, John Jones, by your logic, you said DC was never the champ because he didn't beat you. So you got to use your own logic, meaning that Francis is saying that John Jones will never be the real champ because he hasn't beaten Francis by John Jones's logic, you know. So, and to that, I say fair play to Francis because you're using John Jones's own logic against him, saying that, you know, telling John Jones, you'll never be the champ even if you win this fight because you didn't beat the real champ. You didn't beat me. So I get what Francis, Francis, I'm picking up what you're putting down, bro. I get you. Now, that was a haymaker of it. But, yeah, I'm going with John Jones to win this fight. I think he's just one of those dudes. And especially in this moment, he's going to step up, bro, as long as there's no injury, no freak injury. I think John Jones will get it done. And I love Cyril Gane, man. This is a dude that I've been talked about. But I just think that John Jones, he has too many weapons, and I think his wrestling will be a big thing in this, and I think he will go to his wrestling. As long as – I think he needs to get away from, like, beating guys at their own game type thing, but I don't think he's going to come into – this fight with that mentality of like, oh, you know, let's have a kickboxing match with Cyril Gane. I don't think that's what he's going to do. And he actually said that. He was like, this is not going to be a kickboxing match. And I think he's smart enough to do that. I don't think you should go in and have a kickboxing match with Cyril Gane. I think maybe strike with him a little bit, but definitely use your skills. You know what I mean? You're up at heavyweight now. It's time to use your skills. You know what I mean? You're not fighting these 205ers anymore that, you know, you weren't afraid of, that you just were like, okay, I'm not afraid, so let me just kickbox with Thiago Santos. It's like, this isn't Thiago Santos, it's Cyril Gane. This dude's way bigger than Thiago Santos, and he's way more dangerous than Thiago Santos, and if he lands on you the same way Thiago does, you might not come back. You know what I mean? You might not get up. You know what I mean? John Jones. So, you got to calm that down, and you got to use all your skills, but I think he will. And I think the wrestling will be big. And I think John Jones, I want to say third round submission, but I think I'm going to go with the key special, man. I'm going with John Jones. See, I had to save the key special. John Jones, third round TKO. It's going to be a ground and pound TKO, bro. He's going to be, by the third round, he's going to be getting into his wrestling. And he's just going to stop. He's going to stop smashing on Gane, bro. It's going to be a ground and pound third round of John Jones, the new UFC undisputed world heavyweight champion of the world. And likely likely pound for pound number one after that, too, which is kind of crazy. You know, shout out to Islam, but, you know, or whoever. But John Jones probably going to have to take that spot, too. I don't know. All right, it's on you.
Man, my head says Cyril Gane. My heart says John Jones. Man, this is probably going to be the most athletic fight between heavyweights in UFC history. Both of these guys are super athletic. Both of them can do stuff that most heavyweights can't do. Cyril Gane, you know, he recently fought for the belt and got dominated in the wrestling against a guy that's really not known for his wrestling, and Francis Ngannou. And now he's going against a guy that's a world-class wrestler. But one thing about John that he dominated in light heavyweight was he always seemed to have reach advantage. In this fight, he only has a 3.5-inch reach advantage. So I think his reach advantage is going to be kind of not so much advantageous towards him. And we have to keep in mind he hasn't fought in 3 years. I know me and Keys have been on this thing that there's no such thing as ring rust. or Octagon Rush. I think the first couple rounds we might see a little bit of Rain Rush from John, and we'll see probably see him swing into John Jones mode probably in the second round, mid to late second round. Man, my head says Cyril Gane, man. My heart says Jones. I'm going with... going with my heart, man. I'm going with John Jones, man. And I'm going to say late second round finish. I think John catches him late in the second round. Probably a knee or a back elbow or something. And he finishes with ground and pound, TKO, John Jones, second round TKO, or second round submission. And he becomes undisputed heavyweight champion. And that sets up the greatest fight in UFC history between the greatest light heavyweight champion of all time going against the former, well, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time in the UFC, John Jones versus Stipe Miocic. That's where I'm going at with it. Well, tonight, man, we covered a lot of bases tonight. We covered the Jay Fury fight. We revisited Islam versus Volkanovski. We talked a little bit of bare knuckles. And then we just gave you our predictions for UFC 285. Any last word, Keith?
Nah, I mean, we got to a lot of stuff. We pretty much hit everything we possibly could have. I was jam-packed. And, you know, I'm just thinking about my dinner right now, to be honest. I'm about to eat. It's going to be great. And, yeah, I don't got nothing, man. It's, man, shout out everybody. Shout out the real ones. And that's it. If I forget anything, I'll post it up on our Twitter. And, yeah, we're just going to leave it at that. Follow us on Twitter at Lean Keys Real Talk. Hit us up. And, yeah, that's it. The floor is yours.
Yeah, man. Everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the fights. If you're going to be out and you're drinking, drink responsibly. You know, don't drink and drive. Take care of yourself. You know, take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. Lee and Keys signing off. As always, we end the show with a peace.